Tuesday, when schedule permits, some PDQ Door telephone time with the fit-looking Governor Paul LePage. He's on the PDQ Door telephone line right now. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning. How are you, gents?
Well, you know, it's been a crazy time in
Washington, and maybe Washington, just as crazy here at home, right?
If you're in talk radio, you got plenty to talk about. Let me put it to you that way.
Governor, we had a conversation this week with others about whether or not marijuana should fall under Bablo, and we even talked with some of the organizers of the citizen-initiated referenda, which was to regulate marijuana like alcohol, and since Bablo is the Bureau of Alcoholic Beverages and Lottery Operations, it seemed common sense, and you signed an executive order for that, sir.
Yeah, it does make sense, and it's the proper place to be, and that's one of the difficulties with citizen-initiated referendums is they really don't know the inner working of government sometimes, and some of the bills that they write they just don't work. But at the same token, you gotta feel for the people because. There's so much gridlock in government that our government no longer works. I'm one of the ones that believes that two-party system is broken, and I do believe that we're probably going to be heading for a constitutional convention to fix our government. I really think that we need to start taking a hard look at other forms of government.
Well, that being said, I'll let that sink in for a minute, but I'm going to go back to this issue. They said last week... they passed the bill, you signed the bill, but then I'm a little confused.
They stripped the bill before they passed the bill.
Right. I got a little confused over Sarah Gideon's bill.
After they stripped it, Sarah Gideon went up and put the bill back up under her name. I mean, you know, this is what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's broken. It's all about egos, and I want to be the one in power, and I want to run it. And it's not about working together. It's not about doing the right thing. That bill was a good bill. That bill was a sensible bill. What that bill simply said was, we will not allow people under 21 to buy marijuana. We were going to move it over from agriculture to Bablo. We asked for $1.5 million. In fact, if it goes to Bablo, the financial request is about $1.5 million. If it goes to Ag Estates and Agriculture, the request is going to be closer to $4 million. And so we're trying to save taxpayer money. We're trying to put it where it belongs. And we're trying to do the right thing here. And Sarah Gideon decided we had the votes. At 10 o'clock in the morning, we had all the votes that were necessary. In fact, it was going to be near unanimous in both houses, both chambers. And then they take a break. She whipped her caucus. And all but one Democrat, deserted the bill. And then at 5 o'clock, they came down and asked me to either sign it or veto it so they could go up and override it immediately, which is just pompous. I'm sorry. It's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Why is it a bad idea? Why was it a bad idea when it was your idea? Why was it a good idea when it was her idea?
I don't know.
Was there any difference whatsoever?
No, it's the exact same language. The exact same language. You know, this is what I mean about it's broken. It's not working anymore. It simply is broken. It just doesn't work anymore. It's not about the people. They do not care about what the people of Maine need or want. They just care about their egos. I'm sorry, folks, but that's what it is in Augusta. We live in a world of egos. The third floor works in politics. The second floor works in policy. And they know that we're right on the policy. They even go back and put the same bills up, but they just change the name on the sponsor. It is just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, Governor, your executive order tells the legislature to give the money, but you barred the executive branch from spending money on the project until the legislature comes up with the appropriation. Is that right?
Well, yeah. The point is, the way it's set up, the legislature, if they come back and say use existing resources, means that we have to shut down something in order to get these rules done, and that's what I don't want to see happen. This is the people have spoken. The people want marijuana. Now, you're going to have to fund it, folks. You're just going to go shut something else down. I sure as heck hoping they're not telling me to get rid of DEA agents to use that money to make the rules. That's my point. The point I'm making here is simply There's no money there, folks, and you know it. So don't tell us to go do it with existing resources because we don't have the resources. That's the problem. And they've known it all along.
Talking with Maine Governor Paula Page in the Blaine House this morning. Now, the moratorium is now extended to a year, and we have the legislative committee. I've seen the Senate makeup. I haven't seen the House makeup of it yet, and they're the Marijuana Implementation Committee. Do you think they're going to be able to get this done in 12 months?
I hope so. I mean, I hope so. I pray to God they can. They haven't done much, and you know, we still don't have the resolution to the forensics situation. The hospital, and we were told that was going to happen before Christmas. So I don't know, Rick. I honestly don't know. We're so frustrated on the second floor. We work very hard every day to try to get policy, and we'll have some differences in ideology and how to implement certain policy, but they simply don't want to do anything. They simply don't want to do anything. And in all due respect to the speaker, she's very inexperienced, and I feel bad about that, but she doesn't talk to anybody. You know, she just goes at it alone. So there's not much we can do. And over on the Senate side, it's no better. Right now, the only two that are willing to work with us are Representative Fredette and Troy Jackson. And I give kudos to Troy Jackson. Totally different man than when he was 2 years ago. He's willing, and every day he says, like, what can I do to help? So kudos to him. He's not the problem.
Well, one other issue that will come up, there's a dozen bills or more in the hopper relating to marijuana heading into the legislature.
Good luck. That's all I can say. It's good luck.
And half the people in favor, half the people not. There's a whole lot of problems with this.
Yeah, it is a lot of problems. And you know, George, you just hit it on the head. A whole lot in favor, a whole lot not in favor. The issue is this: what's best for the Maine people? If we all focus and leave our egos at the door, and leave our ideology at the door, and we just come in and sit around the table and say, "What's best for our students? We can fix education. What's best for the people of Maine? We can fix the marijuana rule. What's best for our elderly? We can fix the elderly problems." It's just they don't want to do that. It's all about me, my ego. I want to get this done. I don't agree with you. You're an idiot. Okay, I'm an idiot. Look, I don't need to take credit for anything. Just get the work done.
You got another town hall meeting. This time you're headed to York?
Yep. Yeah, we're going to talk, going to York. I mean, since last week, I've done a lot of homework on, the contentious issue last week was asylum seekers, so I've done a lot of work on asylum seekers. People in Maine don't realize that the asylum seekers in Maine do not come from foreign countries. They come from other parts of this country because they've overstayed their visa and they come to Maine. And then they file for asylum. And this is where the issue is. 70% of those who have filed for asylum get returned to their country because they have no grounds. They're denied. And the sad thing about it is they're not here, and for that, and the federal government takes 18 to 24 months to process an application. That's at the expense of the states. And I'm thinking we're looking into seeing if there isn't something we can do and sue the federal government for the resources that are expended on asylum seekers because the federal government's taken so long to do their work. I just don't think it's appropriate for the federal government to say, you don't have any say in immigration, and you pay for it, and we'll take our sweet time doing it. Now, I'm hoping under the Trump administration that the 2 years, 18 months to 2 years is reduced a little bit. I'm told that that's possible, but the previous administration tried to extend it.
Can you give us an idea as to how many, and you may know this number, how many asylum seekers are now transferring to Maine from other parts of the country?
I know that there's 60 are coming in this week.
60 asylum seekers.
60 asylum seekers will be here between Monday and Friday this week in Lewiston alone. Mm-hmm. That's why I met with Mayor McDonald, because his budget is blown all to pieces. He has no money. He's looking for the state to help him with some funds. And we don't have the funds. And the legislature, the last time that the legislature, what they did is they took monies away from they created artificial wait lists so that they could fund asylum seekers in southern Maine, which I find really bad. I think that Mainers live their whole lives here. They pay their fair share. And when they get to end of life or they're elderly and they need services, we throw them to the curb and we go to young people because we need young people in the state. And I find that appalling.
There was one sad story that hit this week. I'll just bring it up briefly. I know that you would react to it. Some people in Freeport woke up and there were some KKK brochures in their driveways. This is just outlandish here in Maine. Should never happen, right?
I agree. And the largest KKK rally in the United States of America occurred in 1922 in Maine. Over 100,000 hoods were up at Brownville Junction preventing French Canadians from coming to Maine. Yes, I find it appalling. I find it disgusting. There's no room for that in our society. But, you know, George, if you see what's going on since the inauguration, the intolerance of the left has gotten to epic proportions, and now everybody's getting angry and mad, and they're saying that we're not, that the conservative people are the bad people, but they're the ones causing all the havoc around the country.
Do we know if those flyers were legit?
I don't know.
I wonder. I've looked at the news. I've only seen the news accounts. I haven't talked to anyone in law enforcement that investigated them, but I wondered if they were legitimate or they were just some really foolish prank that someone thought they were going to be able to play in Freeport and, I guess, a couple of driveways in Augusta.
Yeah, I frankly, just the thought of it is appalling.
It is.
Just a simple thought. The brain that thought that up is a sick brain.